Brief. The State Department says it is working to evacuate Americans trapped in Haiti as the gang violence there gets worse. Spokesman Matthew Miller.
We are in contact with a number of American citizens in Haiti. I do want to reiterate that we have had a level 4 travel alert for Haiti for more than 4 years now.
The U.S. evacuated its embassy this weekend. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres posted a message on social media to Muslims observing Ramadan this month as the war in Gaza continues.
To all those suffering from the horrors of Gaza in these trying times, the spirit of Ramadan is a beacon of hope.
And Princess Kate is apologizing for photoshopping a picture released yesterday by Buckingham Palace for Mother's Day in the UK. CBS's Matt Piper says it got pulled by several major news outlets.
The image was retracted because, as the AP says, at closer inspection, it appeared the source had manipulated the image in a way that did not meet AP's photo standards.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The search for a missing toddler from the Manitowoc area has expanded up to Green Bay. More than 50 volunteers began searching for 3-year-old Elijah Vu on trails and in wooded areas in Green Bay over the weekend. The boy's mother and her boyfriend are charged with child neglect. The presidential campaign returns to Wisconsin this week. President Biden will take his message to Milwaukee on Wednesday.
The president and vice president will travel to every battleground state in March. Mr. Biden will make stops in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, New Hampshire, and Michigan over the next week. The Biden campaign is also opening up 100 new offices and adding 350 more staffers in battleground states.
Karen Travers reporting from the White House. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR News, I'm Brittany Merlot. It's been a weird winter, and right now at Rib Mountain, at the top, you'll find snow for skiers and snowboarders, and at the bottom, golfers are teeing up and taking swings in the sunshine. Temperatures to start this week are soaring 10 to 20 degrees warmer than normal, and likely breaking records tomorrow. All the while, Granite Peak has been pressing forward, holding to their standard of having the longest season in Wisconsin. They rely all on their own snowmaking abilities to keep their mountain 100% open, and it still is. They say that the natural snow only helps the overall conditions of the slopes. But it doesn't mean the reputation of this muted winter didn't hit them hard. Day ticket sales dropped as tourism dwindled this year. And with spring sports starting up and spring break around the corner, the slopes aren't as packed. However, their current goal is to keep as many runs open until April 7th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Brittany Merlot. Sunny today with a high near 65. Winds will be a bit breezy out of the south, gusting up to 20 miles per hour, putting us in a high fire danger risk, as high temperatures flirt with breaking records today. And for tomorrow, we crank the heat up to 70 degrees. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 60 degrees at our studios.
Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Proudly brought to you by our good friends from Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. 3:03 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Maloff, here. I am joined by my partner in sports, Mr. Randy Paul.
Good afternoon, James.
Hey, good to have you here, sir.
Good to be here. Can I have a quick shout-out?
Absolutely.
Hey, I've got like a bunch of cousins that gathered together down in Houston, Texas for their brother's birthday. It was a surprise party that they had for him on Saturday, and they all gathered together today, and they're hoping to go out on the lake, do a little fishing because right it's not 40 degrees in Texas.
Yeah.
And so, they had the surprise gathering for him, and just wanted to wish my cousin Michael a happy 60th birthday.
Mm.
And his birthday is actually in 2 days.
Okay.
And so I'm just wondering if he could be on the birthday anniversary club.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Super.
You've got an in there. You know, it pays to have connections. Yeah. We'll get them out of the club.
So, Michael, if you don't win,
yes.
Don't blame me.
That's right. Right at me. Go right at me with that. Happy birthday to him.
Yeah.
Early happy birthday to him.
Super.
And congratulations. That sounds awesome. That sounds like a really good
sounds
time
like
over there.
Fun down there.
Yeah. Very cool. Enjoy yourselves, guys. And thanks so much for listening. We appreciate that. Appreciate all of you listening. We're going to get to your phone calls because that's our job. We take your calls. We want to go whatever direction you want to go in. We have a lot to talk about today. NFL free agency hot and going. We'll get into some of that. I will vent about the Bears at some point or another. Who knows when? and we have to, most importantly of all of this, other than the coverage Randy has for us, we want to talk with our fourth, we got the fourth period coming up. Head coach, GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul, going to join us as they are getting ready to head to New York to play for this championship of the Midwest West Division. I'm looking forward to all of this today, but let's go ahead and start the show with the way we'd like to, with taking one of your phone calls. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, how are you fellas doing?
We're all right. Let's go. Well, what's going on, man? What you want? What's on your mind?
Kirk Cousins is an Atlanta Falcon. What is going on, fellas?
And the latest I've heard is that maybe Justin Fields will go there and just kind of be his backup and learn from him.
First off, right away, are you because I know you're a Viking fan, brother. Are you relieved that he's out of there, or did you want him to come back?
I was really hoping he would come back.
Okay.
Given a hometown discount, but at the same time, they have draft oppositions, and I'm really actually hoping that Justin Fields somehow. They will never trade him within the division. But you know what? That they open that door for Aaron Rodgers.
Well, he has to play for Minnesota, right?
Somebody's got to hold tradition.
Right. when it comes to who's next? I think that's the other question. If you're a Minnesota fan, is who they're gonna who's the next man up? Who are they gonna get? They're starting the musical chairs for quarterback are starting to fill up. I love what you said there about Justin Fields. The only thing I will add to that is it's the Chicago Bears, and they have not shown us that they are smart or intelligent at what
very
they
true.
Do.
Very
so
true,
trading within
very
the division
true.
Does not seem far-fetched. I would not be surprised if they were taking calls from the Chicago Cubs. I wouldn't be surprised. It's the Bears. This is a situation for if I'm a Minnesota fan, I'd be relieved because I don't think that Kirk Cousins was ever going to win you a championship. I don't believe he's going to win one in Atlanta or wherever else he ends up.
Right.
I never thought he would. I do think there's one thing very clear, and I am not saying this as a judgment of Kirk Cousins. I don't know him. Seems like a perfectly fine human being for the most part. I don't know. But don't ever tell me that you're in this game to win. Don't. If you are Kirk Cousins, I don't want to hear that. There is no way you can convince me that Minnesota isn't closer to a championship than Atlanta is. And if you're going to Atlanta for that paycheck, just like he went to Minnesota for that paycheck, don't tell him. I'm fine with this, by the way. I have no issue with it. Just right. I don't want to hear Kirk Cousins saying in interviews, well, all that matters to me is a championship and the money is this or that or whatever. Like, no, it's about the money, man. You could have taken a hometown discount to play in Minnesota.
He gets paid anywhere he goes. Yeah. He's like, actually, I looked at the top free agents listed because today is the first day of free agency. He was the number one listed free agent. You know who knows number four was Danielle Hunter, another Viking.
It'll be interesting to see who they get in there next. Hey, before I let you go, I do want to, I know that we play around with our stat of the show and everything, and so I've got one for you in the audience here.
I got one for you.
Okay, excellent. All right.
Go ahead.
I'll go first. And since we're getting ready for baseball and everything, Ricky Henderson, one of my all-time favorites. Ricky spent more of his career as the all-time steals leader than as the steals leader. Ricky once went 0 for 0 for walks, had 5 steals and 4 runs in that game. Like, he went 0 for 4, got walked every time, ended up having 5 steals in that game and 4 runs scored.
Wow.
Yeah, he's stolen more bases than he actually got a hit.
Yeah, it's just a, few people in sports that I love looking up the stats of more than Ricky Henderson, just because they are so weird and wild, and I don't think we'll ever see anything like it again.
Yeah, Ricky Henderson and Tony Gwynn, man, those never.
Yes.
And you know where I'm going. I love that you let in with baseball, because I'm all about baseball. Mm. I've got a stat for you, because right. I'm stat of the day.
Yes.
It was Dan Le Batard.
Mm.
Cameron Maybin.
Yes.
You remember him?
Yes, yes.
Played for the Detroit Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
He actually he scored his first home run for the Tigers in 2007. And he was a journeyman, and he actually hit his last home run as part of the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah. It's insane. It's just crazy.
17 years later.
17 years later. That's incredible.
Because I have a stat of the day, I like the ceremonial opening pitches, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know who threw the fastest ceremonial opening day pitch ever?
Huh. Hmm.
Ichiro.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, that's a good one.
It was 93 miles an hour.
Ooh,
and the second fastest ceremonial pitch ever thrown was Colin Kaepernick. He threw it 89 miles an hour.
Oh, I could see that. Yeah, yeah, I could see that. Oh, those are some great stats,
Nolan
man.
Nolan Ryan. Everybody likes a good Nolan Ryan fact. He actually threw it 77 miles an hour. And he was 70 when he threw it.
That's insane.
Probably did it left-handed, too.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, no doubt. He probably put Robin Ventura in a headlock, too. Yeah,
absolutely. Appreciate you, man. Have a great week.
A little White Sox reference for you today.
Hey, I appreciate it. Yeah, appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. Best listeners in radio. Appreciate every one of you, Matt.
Kind of cute ones.
Matt, real quick before I forget. Matt, please call our front desk. You gotta talk to Pam. Give Pam a call if you're still can hear this. I almost forgot.
Not another cute one that happened this weekend. I watched so much basketball, but I think it was like South Carolina and Tennessee, the girls,
Oh my God, that girl, a good game.
Banks in this jump shot at the buzzer at three, and it was like only her second attempt all year.
All year?
They weren't even so concerned about her. I think the nearest defender was like 16 feet away.
Yeah.
And her coach said, "We wouldn't guard her either."
Oh, I didn't hear that part. Oh, that's awesome.
That was funny.
Let's just cover a little bit more NFL free agency, as just coming over the wire from Adam Schefter. Former Giants safety Xavier McKinley signed a 4-year, $68 million deal with the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay has also signed Josh Jacobs to a deal, and also informed at the same time Aaron Jones that he will be released. Other big signings, the Chicago Bears signed DeAndre Swift. Saquon Barkley is signed in Philadelphia for a big contract.
Russell Wilson.
Oh, Russell Wilson to Pittsburgh. Thank you, Randy.
What I love on that one is he signed for the league minimum of $1.2 million. You know why? Because the Broncos still owe him $38
million. Yeah, yeah. He's betting on himself. He went to a win. Now Russell Wilson could tell me that he's playing for to win. He can tell me that. He can convince me of it, whether he means it or not, I don't know. But he can definitely convince me of it, as he's going to a team, maybe the best fit for him, with the best coach in football, I would say.
He's going to get paid no matter where he goes, because the Broncos owe it.
Yep, and if he does a great season this year, all he's got to do is be better than Mason Rudolph, for one thing, and Kenny Pickett, which I think he still has in him. I'd still bet on Russell Wilson.
Yeah, you put him with the right staff and the right receivers, I think he'll do fine.
As we kind of started the show with the big signing, Kirk Cousins cashes in $180 million from Atlanta, $100 million guaranteed, getting paid. So with this, I have to touch on this really quick, and I think the audience is going to enjoy my misery, because you guys enjoy Chicago Bear misery here in Wisconsin, and I don't blame you. That's fine. We give you plenty of it. The Bears had everything lined up for them. All they had to do was make a move. If they were going to trade Justin Fields, make that move before free agency started. That's all they had to do. And instead, they are the guy at the poker at the 21 table when they get 20. Hit me. Hit me. You know, there's no one card. Hit me. Like, what are you doing? Like, unless there is some trade partner we don't know about, which I have a hard time believing Adam Schefter has not been able to find, the Bears, whether they want to or not, now have had the decision made for them. You're either cutting Justin Fields, cutting him. You're not getting nothing for him. Or you're trading him for a fifth or a sixth rounder or something like that. And if you are keeping him, you're not. What are you going to do with that first round, that number one pick?
Yeah, does
that
just...
You're going to spend it on an offensive lineman, on a wide receiver or something like that instead of trading down? Like, the draft capital that they have left on the table is insane. And look, I am not obviously the smartest human being on the planet. I am not the smartest football mind on the planet. There is plenty of things that could be going on that I don't know about. And a week from now, I could be eating my own hat, and I hope to God I am. But what are you doing? If they're going to stick with Fields, which I have said many times, I like Justin. He seems like a fine young man, and he does a very good job out there. But I will say the same thing about Justin Fields that I said about Kirk Cousins. I don't know you can win a championship with him. And if you're not playing for a championship, what the hell are you doing? Why are you in this game? Like, it doesn't make any darn sense. And year after year, fans continue to put down ticket. Soldier Field does fine in ticket sales. That's an underkept secret in the NFL. Nobody talks about it or anything. The Bear fan base shows up. But they continue to do this to us and just smack us in the face over and over again. And only thing that stays consistent is the McCaskies up at top. And it's so dang frustrating to look. I don't mind my team losing. I don't mind my team not doing that well. But when you shoot yourself in the foot before the games have even been played, like, that's the part that can get so frustrating. They're not cheap. The Bears will spend money. They just aren't smart with it. And here we go again with another situation where the possible next Patrick Mahomes or Patrick Mahomes-esque or whatever, or 2.0 or whatever you want to say, he's going to end up in Washington probably. And you're going to be with a guy who is going to do fine, but is probably not going to make any Pro Bowls and dang sure ain't going to win you a Super Bowl more than likely. Now, it's hard to say that about Justin Fields. It's not fair to say that. I wholeheartedly admit that. But tell me I'm wrong.
You know, it's interesting. I was just talking to somebody about this, and it said, how many quarterbacks can you think of, a handful, maybe two at the most, over the last how many years, that haven't benefited from sitting behind somebody?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And Justin Fields didn't get that opportunity. Somebody was saying, you know, maybe we mentioned it already, that, you know, what if he would have went and followed Kirk Cousins to Atlanta? Mm. You know, give him a chance to actually now, even though he's played a little bit, just to sit and watch Kirk Cousins for a year at least,
mm-hmm.
right? So now what do they do with that top pick, like you said? Do they pick Caleb Williams? What good will that do?
Yeah. Right? You got
two guys that need to learn from each other.
Right. And you got no leadership on that offense. No leadership in that coaching staff. Nothing but rooks all over the place. You got your veteran is pretty much an offensive lineman or DJ Moore, who I like DJ Moore, but nobody is considering DJ Moore like your team leader or anything.
Not Devondre.
I don't know. If I'm in the NFC North, I'm ecstatic today if I'm a fan of any other team than the Midnight Blue and Orange. Let's take a call. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
So is this a two-hour show today?
Yep, it's got to be
minimum.
I don't care. Whatever's coming after us, we're going to keep talking. Yeah. The normal civic media lineup will play, but Randy and I are going to keep talking. Yes, we are.
just keep the doors open, right?
Yeah. You're more than welcome to stop by. By the way. So how are you feeling right now? Because I got to think, as a Packer fan,
shocked.
I mean, the only person who's got to be more shocked is Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones was going to take the hometown discount. Aaron Jones, it looked like this was all lined up for him to sign an extension or something like that. And instead, he's kind of out there now trying to find a dance partner. And you're bringing in I looked this up. Just had to make sure. So Aaron Jones, 29, and Josh Jacobs, 26. Getting a guy a little bit younger. Some would say a better back. I don't know. I don't know if he's a better back or not, especially since he's coming into a new system. But I like Josh Jacobs. I think that's a really nice fit for the team.
Oh, I don't disagree with you on that, but that would have been, could you think of that for maybe a year or two to have those two guys as your running back?
Yeah.
And there's no guarantee he won't resign, though, either, is there?
True.
But and that's the thing, too. I'm kind of wondering if the Packers are, you know, being nice enough to Aaron to see if maybe he can get a little bit more money, you know, and if he doesn't get signed. I mean, you never know.
Well, I think,
the Packers picked up three more compensatory draft picks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plus on top of the 10 they already have.
Yeah.
The ceiling for the Packers, and I heard Mike Clemens kind of talk about this a little bit today on a different program, that you're looking at 5 to 6 years of a ceiling for the Packers that we could be you know, back to that, you know, I hate to say it for you, James, the Packers could be back to that dominant force again within the NFC North.
And it all depends upon how healthy people stay.
Let's, and I want to be real clear about this. I don't hate the Packers. I don't hate the Lions. I don't hate the Vikings. I've got nothing to hate. Like my team's not competitive. Like, my team isn't even trying, it seems like. Why would I get bent out of shape or anything when I'm going into these games understanding that it's not even a necessarily a fair fight in some ways? When you look at the intelligence of look at Minnesota's GM. I know nobody wants to talk nice about the Vikings or anything. They got a smart GM over there. They got a guy who's doing some really smart things over there. And yeah, they're letting go of some big names. They're saving would you want to pay $100 million guaranteed to Kirk Cousins off coming off an ACL? Come on. Like, that's a smart move not to give that man that money. That alone makes him more intelligent than anybody in Chicago right now. Ryan Pace, the moves that he has made, for every good move he has made another move to shoot himself in the foot. And it's hard to give a guy credit for things when you're sending a second round pick on a wide receiver that Mike Tomlin gave up on. Mike Tomlin gave up on. What do you think your coach is going to do with him when Mike Tomlin couldn't get through to him? Like, come on, man. Like, the decision making on that team, some great scouting. Great scouting by the Bears. I have no issue with the scouting that they're doing. Picked up some nice players in the last couple of years. But my God, the decisions you're making with management and with some of it's not even the calls that they're making, it's calls they're not making. It's the moves they're not doing that are just frustrating. I'm turning my mic off. You guys talk. This is a show that takes place in Wisconsin. This is a show that I got to shut up.
Well, you know, but this is a sports talk radio show, James. Yes, I want you to just take a deep breath and just kind of.
I'm going to take a breath. I'm going to take time out. Moment here a little bit. Yeah.
But, you know, the one thing I noticed with the Bears, though, I mean, they've had the talent on that team. Their coaching decisions have been that's just where it's been.
Yeah.
I think the Bears could be a lot better place if they would have better coaching. Just plain and simple.
Mike Ditka wasn't a great coach. This is something that no Chicago Bear fan will ever say, but they'll say it behind. I've heard plenty say it behind the scenes. Mike Ditka was not a great coach. Mike Ditka was a good player's coach. Mike Ditka could coach men, could coach people. Buddy Ryan was the coach. Buddy Ryan was the guy who was really running that defense and really making things. There's a reason that the only Super Bowl, and the only time in Super Bowl history two coaches were carried off the field was that time. Because the players damn sure knew it.
Yeah, they did. But with everything going on today, it's kind of funny that, I mean, it really doesn't really supposed to start until Wednesday, but you have this legal tampering they have going on right now.
Yeah.
But I can really see within the next couple of years, just between the Lions and the Vikings and the Packers, and, you know, we'll see where the Bears come in, but I think the NFC North, I think, to me, there's going to be a lot of championships won between those, you know, possibly four teams.
What do you see? What do you see with the Vikings now that they've lost Kirk Cousins? We're just having a discussion with someone about that. I think that's really going to hurt them, as we saw when he was injured.
I think it's going to hurt the next couple of years unless they just get that diamond in the rough. But, you know, just like the Pat, I mean, they got a ton of picks too coming up. I mean, they could have a good draft,
This draft is at least 5 to 6 deep in quarterback too. And nobody's talking about J.J. McCarthy. That kid's arm is just waiting to be used. He didn't use it at all in Michigan. That's a guy you can get late in the first, early second. Some quarterbacks always fall. There's at least a player or two that always falls. If you're Minnesota, when you got Justin Jefferson on one side and the Addison kid on the other, I feel good bringing in just about any quarterback except one that I got to pay $100 million guaranteed.
Yeah, and that's the thing there too. But I don't, you know, with the draft coming up, and I know we kind of talked about this a little bit last week. You know, I really tell you the truth, I really hope the Bears don't pick up Caleb Williams. I'm not really sold on this kid. He could have all the greatest talent, you know, the greatest arm in the world, but he's got a 10-cent head right now. The way things are going. And you know, and I can almost see if his dad's his agent or doing all the talking, we're going to have another ball situation like he did out in Los Angeles with the Lakers and stuff like that.
There is some concern there with that. There's some concern there with that. I will say I'll take him. I'll take him right now. And not only that, will I take him. What I'm taking is that contract. What I'm taking is a player on a rookie contract. What Mike said about the Packers, and I talked to him about this too, it's absolutely right. The championship window is open, and it's open for 5 to 6 years, and you have to make good on that now. There is no guarantee. I know how it's been going. I know we said this about Jordan Love too. There's no guarantee the next quarterback's going to be great and all that. The one thing you can guarantee is his salary's going to go up. And that's going to make it harder to sign an Xavier McKinley or somebody like that, or a Josh Jacobs. So win now. This is smart management. This is what you do. You look at this last year and you're like, hey, maybe we got a team that can compete. Maybe we got to rebuild. Let's go ahead and see how this plays out. Halfway through the season, oh my God, we got a winning team. Oh, did you see this? We got the win. And you get excited and you're jacked. And like, well, all right, change of plans. We're all in. And so what do? As a whole entire cohesive unit, the whole entire franchise decides, we're all in. And here we go, where Josh Jacobs, Xavier McKinley, we're not even to free agency yet, and these guys are already signing in Green Bay, which is something I can't believe we haven't even touched on, man. Like, we got this far into this conversation, and I guarantee you nobody on the Mouse Network has brought this up either. Players are signing in Green Bay.
That's because they've been watching the weather, and they see it's beautiful up here.
Just, you know.
they're going to go, we're going to have more winters like we did this last year.
The three of us were alive and remember the shock of Reggie White signing in Green Bay and how much that changed the game, how much that changed the free agency world. And here we are now where it means nothing to see one of the biggest free agents in the running back class sign in Green Bay. Maybe the top safety, if not the second ranked safety, sign in Green Bay. Now it's just old hat.
We're almost shocked if they don't.
yeah. That's impressive to me. I think that just is a side story, side note. Pretty cool.
Speaking of a side note, can you see Aaron Jones with a star on his helmet?
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, they're looking for a running back. Yeah. I think Derrick Henry's signing there. I saw that Tony Pollard signed in Tennessee. I think they're changing helmets. I think that Henry's going to end up in
Here's
Dallas.
A question for both of you. Now, Aaron Jones has been a little injury prone, right? Sat out last year a little bit. He's going to be 30, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is that one of those things you say, he was great at the end of the year, but can we trust us? I mean, he's not a huge running back. He runs hard. We love the way he runs and the effort he gave us those last several weeks, but can he stay healthy, especially once you hit that 30? You know, most NFL running backs last, five years in the league?
I think the one theme we see in free agency, especially in an Aaron Jones situation, is guys wanting to sign in the division. Saquon Barkley taking less money to play in Philly kind of thing. I wouldn't be surprised if Aaron Jones signs with an NFC North team. That wouldn't shock me.
But who needs a running back though in the North?
Yeah. We'll see. Nowadays though, it almost doesn't matter. Jacksonville didn't need a quarterback, and they trade for Mac Jones. You know, I mean, having backups to backups is really huge right now. Who knows? They may even be adding another week to the NFL by the time we're done with today. I don't know. Yeah. having those bodies, I wouldn't be surprised if he takes. Especially because now it looks like he's going to have to take less money. If you're already taking less money, and it does seem like Aaron Jones is playing for, money, sure, but to play to win, I wouldn't be surprised to see him sign with a Detroit or something like that if they're calling.
Plus the other thing, he took the cut last year already. Is he going to do it two years in a row?
Yeah. It's rough. Appreciate the call as always, man.
All right. Well, one quick thing I was going to say was the deal with Aaron Rodgers. You know, the Packers is just like Favre. The only team he hasn't beat was the Packers. So, and the Jets don't have him on the schedule the next couple of years. So we'll see what.
That's interesting.
What Minnesota can could pull out here. You never know.
You know what? Can he do it just for us? Just to make us laugh? Can he do it just so we can all of us sports fan around the world, even if it's just like a 1 day deal, just sign with Minnesota just for 1 day, just for the pure humor of it? Show us you have a sense of humor, Aaron. Show us that you can make fun of yourself.
And just so he goes 16-1 and then plays at the New Orleans Saints. Oh boy!
Always good talking to you, man. You have a great week.
All right, guys.
See ya.
You too. We'll talk later.
We are going to take a timeout, take care of our sponsors here. When we come back, we're going to have the fourth period. GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Canes, Coach Paul Peckman, going to join us. We're going to talk about the team making it to the championship here and fighting for that crown.
And we had high school championships this past weekend, and we had sectionals leading into the championships.
We're going to get to Randy's coverage there when we come after the fourth period. Looking forward to covering all of that for you. Coming up right here on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Post Printing, getting your words out right here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Playmakers sponsored by Wham Incorporated. Quality Plus Printing brings you Wham Incorporated. Empower your game with custom apparel and bring out the hero in you. Whenever you need team gear, have special events, and more, Wham Incorporated is there with super speed, and there's no need to thank them because it's all in a day's work. Wham Incorporated, located on 8th Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Saving the day one order at a time.
United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties invites all women to join us for the 13th annual Power of the Purse, Tuesday, March 12th at Bullseye Golf Club from 5 to 7:30. Power of the Purse is a fundraiser to support early grade literacy hosted by Women United. There will be a purse silent auction, raffles, and great food. All thanks to our diamond sponsors, Alliant Energy, Kinexus Cares, Ho-Chunk Gaming, Nakusa, Paul Gross Jewelers, Walker Cranberry, and Williams Plumbing and Heating. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit us at uwswac.org or call 715-421-0390. We hope to see you at Power of the Purse.
Say it with me, the Bucs in Six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on locally grown radio, WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks. Your hometown radio refreshed.
Sunny today with a high near 65. Winds will be a bit breezy out of the south, gusting up to 20 miles per hour, putting us in a high fire danger risk, as high temperatures flirt with breaking records today. And for tomorrow, we crank the heat up to 70 degrees. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 62 degrees.
Welcome back, everyone. It's time to start the fourth period.
Celebration time, yes, here in the room.
Yes, it is. Welcome back to Playmakers, everybody. It's time for one of our favorite parts of the show to kick off the fourth period with GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Paul Peckman. And last week, I thought I'd seen the biggest smile on you. This is definitely the biggest smile I've ever seen on you, sir. Appreciate you being here today. Thanks so much for the time.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Coach, for those that were catching up here, and I have a hard time believing that. If you're a River Kings fan, you know what's going on. You know what happened. River Kings won both games Friday, Saturday, able to take Sunday off, and getting ready to head to New York. They're packing. They're packing up right now and everything. Saturday's game, 4-0 shutout, nonetheless. Coach... First off, I do want to say one thing. A shout out to the Minnesota Moose, to all the other teams in the USPHL. These teams have got great players, got fan bases just like ours that love these teams and support them, and we appreciate them giving such a great effort and all that they put out there. I genuinely mean all of that. But you shut out a team in a playoff game. I don't care what the sport is, what the level is. That is... We want this done. We want to make that. We're punching our ticket. It seems like that it was an attitude game. That was a game that we are no doubt whatsoever. We're moving on.
Well, it all goes back to the beginning of what we talk about, right? Defense wins championships. Mm. And it's something that we preach and we talk about all week long, all season long. And you had one thing in your way of getting to where you want to go. And just telling Randy about, from day one, what we talk about, what was the ultimate goal was, let's get to nationals. Mm-hmm. Let's win nationals, mm-hmm. right? So it got to that, all right, well, here we are, 60 minutes away, and there's only a group of guys in front of you that's in your way. What are you going to do? And it was just, they played tremendous. I mean, I'm so proud of them, and they stuck to the game plan, and we played hard on both sides of the puck and mm-hmm. took advantage. And it's nice when Wacom scores 40 seconds into the game, right? And also you got that, and you could just feel it. And then the second period, I mean, the boys capitalized. We got a nice shorthand goal by Owen Atkins, and we played tremendous. And we got all four lines was just humming. It was beautiful to see. So it's nice to get everybody involved, mm-hmm. right, as much mm-hmm. as possible. So I tell you, the one part that got scary in that game is when we went down 5-on-3 mm-hmm. For almost two full minutes. and we had Whitehead and Tutich and Wilhelm. Guys were just blocking shots. Like Jude didn't even get half of them.
Yeah.
Because these guys were diving in front of things, and it was incredible to see. And that's the kind of effort that's going to get you to go where we're going. So they earned every right of it. So I'm proud of them.
Yeah.
I was kind of curious. You know, fell behind nothing. 2-0 on Friday, and then you had that big second period where you took the lead, and then you won that. Did that feel like a kind of a turning point for the weekend?
Yeah. Well, they didn't like what I had to say.
We can't talk about that right now.
Where's that?
I'll give you the PG. You the PG version.
Right.
But let's just say it was. Once we got to that part, I mean, listen, we had some success against them, right? They're tough. I mean, they're big. They're physical. They're fast. They got some guys that put up some numbers. So it was. We knew it was going to be a grinded out long weekend, right, if we weren't paying attention. So and then we get behind like that, and it was just, even in the other series, we went down a little bit, right, and we would come right back. So it's not something that it was new to us. Just had to stay calm and stay to the game plan. I mean, there was plenty of time left, and just go to work and just get that next one. Get the next one, and then you can see the momentum. I mean, we scored 3 goals in 6 minutes, right? So it was like that, and the place was electric, and the boys were feeling it.
Want to remind everybody to follow the River Kings on social media. It's a great follow, great way to keep up on action with the Kings. As we'll talk about before we let Coach go, there is no off season. So, you know, there's never a bad time to be paying attention to their social media. And if you were able to find out real quick and right away that not only did the Kings win, but see some of the photos of you guys on the ice and stuff. It was really cool to see. I feel like I don't get to see you smile enough, sir. So it was great to see. It was really good. But I'm curious. I'm looking at that picture and thinking of you guys on the ice and all these kids that I got to talk to before the season started and everything. What was the energy like that night? How was everybody?
Bouncing off the walls.
Yeah,
I mean, it was incredible. At the end of the game, and we just brought all the fans on the ice, as many as wanted to come on the ice and just celebrate, you know, took pictures. We have the banner that we had made, and now we'll have another one made to go to the Nationals and that kind of thing. So it was just... You know, you could take a deep breath for a little bit. You know, like, all right, we did what we said we were going to do. And for me personally, this is the best record that I've ever had as a coach, most wins in a season. So, you know, and I don't like to talk about that stuff because it's not important, but you know, I'm still a competitor, right? I mean, goals and you still got things like that.
Absolutely.
What's that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you got to take that.
So it was nice, and the boys presented me with the puck after the game.
Cool.
In the locker room.
Right on. Yes.
It was nice.
That's so deserving.
I'm not one. I'll sit in the back and I'll just watch.
Gotcha.
Right? And the parents are so excited, and they're coming. You know, and you just get everybody out there, and it's just like. That's what it's all about.
That's why I do this, right?
And I will say this, especially growing up around hockey players, in a hockey family and everything, you are not alone in that. I know a lot of people like your with your character. You sit in the back. You let other talk for you. If you're good at something, let other people brag for you kind of thing.
Right.
So that's what we're going to do, Coach. We're going to brag for you because this is something that it needs to be noted. This was the goal eventually. This was the goal. This was supposed to happen. You were hoping for this. And I don't know the timeline in your head or anything like that, or the franchise's head, but I know as a fan base, when we have a new coaching staff come in, when we have some things to look forward to, you in sports in general, it doesn't even matter the sport. Okay, 3 to 4 years, we're hoping to be fighting for a championship and everything. Here we are, year 2. We're going to New York. Like, that's got to feel good. Take that win. There's nothing that can change that. I know that there's plenty still to play for. We are 2 wins away from our goal. I get that. But at the same time, you got to take the wins where you can, man. And for you especially, this is a huge win. We understand this as fans, I think, especially being a fan of a local team. It's not just the wins and losses. It's all the wins that you had getting these kids coming here, being able to bring coaching, good coaching prospects in and stuff. Like all of that, it takes so much to be able to win in no matter what the division. It's a huge win. So, yeah, we'll brag for you, man. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We'll be able to do that. I want to talk about the other series, Hudson, Minnesota. They had a pretty pretty darn good series. A lot of goals scored. That wraps up in a two OTs, I believe, on Sunday. Sunday's game. Minnesota 7, Hudson 6. Shout out to Hudson. Great season. Well done by them. Nothing to hang their heads about. Mm-hmm. Taking on Minnesota Squatch in New York. This is it. Right?
No, we won't play them.
No, you won't be.
Nope.
Okay, so this is something...
Something totally new
that
they're doing, and I'll talk about it in a couple of minutes here. I want to make an announcement, but they're going to do, like, the draft, right? They got golf balls with your logos on them.
Okay.
So all the number one seeds go in the left bowl, and everybody else goes in the right bowl.
Oh.
And then when they call your name, they're going to... And they're going to match it.
Ah, okay.
And you just do that.
When are they doing this?
Wednesday night.
Okay.
We're going to do, I'll let everybody know that we're going to do a watch party at La Tequeria.
Nice.
Starting at 6:30, and at 7 o'clock, they'll make the selection.
Okay.
So we'll know who we're playing then.
All right.
So you're guaranteed three games. The first two games, we don't know, right? So once they figure that out, There's a point system. You could lose both games and still be in it.
Okay.
So it's goals for, goals against, that kind of stuff,
sure,
plus, minus, whatever. And then they reseed everybody.
Mm.
And then a single game elimination.
We're
guaranteed, right? We'll play three and then...
And this is why it runs the 21st through the 26th, to get all those games in.
You only play one game a day.
Sure.
Right?
So. Well, and that's interesting. That's really, thank you so much for breaking that news for us, sir. Yeah. That's a really good idea. Shout out to La Taqueria and all that. Yeah. That's going to be fantastic. Great people over there. So with this now, because I was going into this thinking, man, don't you want to play tomorrow? like the momentum and everything, I imagine. Yeah. No, actually, now I would think you do this break here, if you can call it that, a bit of a break. Help get players get a little healthier, get a little chance to breathe. It's a very different scenario now.
Yeah. Wow. Our whole week and a half now is going to be a little bit different than the norm.
Yeah.
Today was optional. We got a couple guys up in Ashland for Northland College doing a college tour and talking to coaches. Cool. They wanted to talk to those guys, so I sent them up there this morning. Mm-hmm. We'll go hard for a couple of days, and then it's Friday, Saturday. We have to practice in Marshfield because of the figure skating show that's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And then we'll come back. We'll take Sunday off, and then we'll skate Monday and Tuesday, and we're leaving Tuesday night.
All right.
We'll travel through the night, get there Wednesday morning, breakfast, check in the hotel. I got owner meetings from 11 to 4, and then we're going to have a practice at 5.
Okay.
Right, so everybody gets familiar with the ice and
situation. Yeah.
It's a big facility. It's got three sheets, mm-hmm. And take it all in and enjoy it, and then we'll play Thursday.
We cannot wait. I'm already excited for Wednesday, let alone when we get to the games and everything. We'll be spreading the word about that watch party. We're going to give you guys a nice crowd, make sure that some people show up down there.
Yeah,
will not be difficult. We love La Taqueria, so it will not be hard to get people to go there, let alone when the Kings are attached to it. That's a great fit. We're excited about this. I know how busy you're going to be over the next couple of weeks. I don't want to commit you to being on the air with us, but if you're able to call in, anything like that, we'll catch up soon. Just know that this whole entire city behind you guys, and we're thinking of you, rooting for you, wishing you safe travels. Before I let you go, Coach, this championship takes place in New York. How's that feel? I mean, you're going home, you know?
Yeah.
That's got to feel kind of cool. That's got to be pretty full circle.
Full circle is exactly right. Yeah. It's I tell you the truth, I really didn't think about it too much until you just said it, but it's been coaching is just a lot of trials and tribulations over the years, right? It's been a long time, and I've been in the Nationals once as an assistant coach, right? But as a head coach, it's my first time. So 15 years later, right? That's how hard it is. I've had teams, like I said, this is the most wins. The other team I had 33 wins, and we lost both games in a shootout to go to Nationals. So you're like, how's that happen? Right?
Yeah, right.
I had 620 goal scorers and they couldn't score on a breakaway. I'm like, what? You don't take anything for granted. Yeah. And I'll say it again, I coached in a couple of divisions. This division is tough.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
From top to bottom, I don't care who it is. If you're not paying attention, you're going to get punched in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I like about it. And I've had many college coaches tell me that this division is one of the toughest, and that's where they like to recruit from, because they know that our guys are most compatible to play college hockey.
Mm-hmm.
some other divisions are wide open and there's no defense, whatever it may be. But here they know that our guys are the more prepared.
And that's why you probably have a list of 50 names already looking for next year, right? Mm.
Yeah. I do. We have four guys already signed, ready to come next year. And,
that's awesome.
Talking to quite a few more. And you know, obviously with the goaltending, you know, it's going to be tough shoes to fill. So,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I was actually just talking to a kid from Calgary.
Nice.
Coming in And I got a kid signed from Utah, and so we're looking for, we got to look to fill those kind of numbers, right? Yeah. Those big shoes to fill.
Never ends, does it?
No.
Congratulations again to you, Coach, to the whole team. Couldn't happen to better people. We're very excited to be cheering you guys on, and we're looking forward to talking again more soon.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks, buddy.
Follow your Kings as they build hockey up and down the river at riverkingshockey.com. And again, be sure to follow them on social media. Great way to keep up to date on everything going on with the Kings. And, Coach, again, this Wednesday, the watch party, 6:30, did you say?
Yes, 6:30. Yeah.
6:30 over at La Taqueria. Meet our team over there, everybody. We will take a quick timeout, come back, and have some more fun on Playmakers here at WFHR.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
What do trees and the joy of painting artist Bob Ross have in common? Ross loved both painting and the environment. He used simple brush strokes to bring happy little trees to life on canvas. Well, now the Wisconsin DNR is using this as inspiration for a virtual Run for the Trees race called the Bob Ross Happy Little 5K. The race supports a healthy lifestyle along with a healthy forest, and a part of your registration fee will go towards a large tree planting effort all across Wisconsin. Now, the best part, pick where and how you start and finish, and complete your 5K anytime between Earth Day on April 22nd and Arbor Day, April 26th. Find all the details and sign up at dnr.wisconsin.gov/events, and then simply search for Run for the Trees. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Sunny today with a high near 65. Winds will be a bit breezy out of the south, gusting up to 20 miles per hour, putting us in a high fire danger risk, as high temperatures flirt with breaking records today. And for tomorrow, we crank the heat up to 70 degrees. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 64.
Welcome back to WFHR's Playmakers, brought to you proudly by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Be sure to follow Quality Plus Printing on social media, find them on Facebook, and be sure to check them out. Stop by there and say hi to Phil and the gang for us. Big shout out to head coach, GM, Coach Paul, for joining us. Love talking to that guy, man. I can talk to him forever.
You can just see the exuberance, you know, the excitement, and he's so excited for these kids as well.
RiverKingsHockey.com. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. Randy does such an amazing job covering local sports for us. Want to get out of the way, let him cover that for right now.
Well, it was Championship Saturday, where the rush to the rush drew to a close, and Divisions 1 through 4 saw the top seeds bring home the gold. First in Division 1, Arrowhead knocked off Nina 69-59. Senior Allie Zabel poured in 35 points for the Rockets in a losing cause. Division 2, Pewaukee never trailed on their way to their first ever state title, 60-52 over Green Bay Notre Dame. From Division 3, Madison Edgewood wins its second state title, 55-52 over Appleton Xavier. In D4, Laconia High School wins the crown for the second consecutive year as they clip Cuba City 47-43. And in Division 5, the Comets of Albany Monticello, who upset the Assumption Royals, win a thriller 57-54 over Lena as Abby Hollis nails a three-pointer with 2 seconds left in regulation and another three-bomb with just under a minute to play in OT to give them and secure the championship. The sectional semifinals were held on Thursday, with the finals taking place around the state on Saturday in boys high school basketball. Let's start by looking at how some of our area teams fared. First in Division 1, where on Thursday, 5th-ranked Marshfield clipped Kaukauna 71-68, while unranked Nina stopped 6th-ranked Spash 68-50. And then on Saturday, Nina pulled off the upset again as they knocked out Marshfield 52-48. Also in Division 1, just kind of on a little side note here, the number one team in state, De Pere, falls to second-ranked Arrowhead 85-80. Division 2, Wausau East loses in the semis to River Falls 75-65. Division 3 sees the Dells also lose on Thursday 84-67 to Platteville. And now here's where it gets interesting for some of our area teams. Division 4, Auburndale
They miss a three bomb at the buzzer. They try this little Drew shot, you know, where they throw it down court. He catches it, throws it to the side, and he missed it at the buzzer. And they fall to Marathon, 57-54. So great season for Auburndale. Kudos go to them. And then on Saturday, the Red Raiders beat Bondiwell, 68-61. So they're off to state. Well, they'll take on Kenosha St. Joe's at 6:30 on Thursday evening. And in Division 5, Almond Bancroft wins its semifinal matchup over Three Lakes, 64-52. And then they pull away from Reedsville late, and they win that contest 70-57. So the Eagles will now go against Abundant Life Christian at approximately 11 a.m. on Friday, and I think I remember correctly, it's the first trip ever to state for Almon Bancroft. Also in Division 5, Columbus Catholic survives Royal 57-54 and Cashton 80-77. So in the semis and the final, they win by a total of 6 points.
That's close.
Crazy, isn't it?
That is.
Owen Withey whipped Winter 85-48 before succumbing to Solon Springs 59-41. So Solon Springs will now clash with Columbus Catholic on Friday at 9:05 a.m. in a state semifinal at the Kohl Center. And, you know, we've been so busy, we should probably at least talk about the scores of the River Kings. They fell behind, you know, 2-0 in after the first period against the Minnesota Moose on Friday, and then got those three in the second period and hung on to win it 3-2. They were actually outshot 38-37 in that contest.
Crazy.
And then Saturday, they win the series 4-0 shutout, and this time they outshot the Moose 43-28. And above and more hockey news, right? The Badgers get knocked out of the Big Ten playoffs as they lose 2-3 to Ohio State. The Badger women, on the other hand, they won on Friday in overtime 4-3. They tied that game with the 8 seconds left in regulation. Oh, my goodness.
Nice goal, too.
Right? And then they beat number one Ohio State 6-3, and they win the WCHA championship. And
congrats to them.
Yeah, Badgers men, they're going to be, what, a fifth seed now?
Yes.
So they will be taking on either Maryland or Rutgers on Thursday at approximately 1:30.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I got here. We will have that game for you live and direct right here at WFHR.
So, yeah, Maryland a 12, Rutgers a 13 seed. Badgers got the number 5 seed. They got the bye on Wednesday, but they didn't get the double bye. So.
Yeah.
So, lots
Take a breather. Thank you. Amazing coverage, as always, Randy.
Always
you're the
fun.
Best. We are going to be covering both those series for you. Wisconsin men's basketball, we will be playing as long as the Badgers keep on in the tournament, we will keep playing their games.
And then it'll be Selection Sunday, so we'll find out where they will be in the in the NCAA tournament.
I think it's. I think you can definitely, you know, get ready to play in March and you know, coming up for March Madness.
Oh, yeah.
I think you can definitely get ready for that. I just don't know where they're going to be. Nobody does. What am I saying? They got to play this tournament yet. But
most
I do,
people think a six seed, maybe.
Yeah. I've got to watch. I see a ton of basketball this year, but I've been watching as much as I can. And thankfully, Saturday or Sunday, I believe, we had a baseball draft. Mm. So I was able to catch some of the Badger game. And, I like that team. They do feel like a team that does need to have a lot of things going right for them.
They just can't shoot 4-for-21 from three land.
That's that's an outlier to me. That's probably not going to happen that often, really. What I took out of it actually was I was a little bit more excited for the Badger team, especially being healthy going into a tournament and that. And if I'm a Purdue fan, I don't know what there is to be excited about because this team is highly ranked. They've got a great, like one of the best players in college basketball. And I watch them and I'm like, it doesn't seem like anybody really is like cares. It doesn't seem like they really are enjoying the game. It doesn't seem like they're enjoying the playing style or the coaching style. I don't know what it is. Maybe it was just an off game for them. I have not watched a ton of Purdue basketball, but I went into it, well, Purdue's third ranked. They've had the number one spot a couple of times this year. I was really expecting to see a really cohesive team, a really solid team. I haven't seen that all year. What highlights I've seen of them, they're kind of a one guy team. It feels like I'm not intimidated by them. There's no team in the Big Ten that scares me. And I think that's got to be a real positive if you were a team like Wisconsin that give me a puncher's chance and we'll go. We will be covering those games for you, of course, and as those games go, they may interrupt Midday Magazine. We have some ideas of what we'll do with that if that happens. We will be recording those interviews where they will play. We'll find out. So we'll see. But we respect our Midday Magazine guests too much, and Pam does too amazing job of scheduling for us to not use these opportunities when we get them.
Yeah. I was just talking to her a little bit about that, and, you know, you have to
set those things up way ahead of time. And
yeah,
I mean, the Badgers could have got two byes, and that could have happened as late as yesterday. Yeah. So
the things that the improv, you think I have to improv on the air a lot. It's nothing compared to what she does behind the scenes. We appreciate you so much, Pam, and all that work. I was kind of leading myself into something, Randy, when I said the puncher's chance thing, because I do want to touch on this just for a little bit. I don't want to give it too much time, but it was announced recently that Mike Tyson and Jake Paul are going to be fighting at Jerry World at AT&T Stadium. And when this news broke, it's going to be live on Netflix July 20th. Mike Tyson's 58, Jake Paul's 27. Mike Tyson is Mike Tyson. I don't think I need to give you his resume. Jake Paul, for those that don't know, is a YouTuber influencer who got into the fighting game with MMA and boxing, has fought a lot of, as we call in the boxing game, tomato cans. And it's nothing against those individuals. They are just not Mike Tyson. All right, they are not true. They are not the upper crust of fighters. Whether
former
it's
heavyweight champions in the world,
right? Yeah, and Jake Paul, like a lot of fighters, he wanted to be a boxer. Now he's learning what it's like to really be a boxer, taking fights that you know you can't win for a paycheck. Like, it's not holding up a belt. It's you're late in the game. You shouldn't be doing this anymore, but you're still doing it because this is the only way you can make money. Evander Holyfield and Mike Tyson can tell you something about that.
Muhammad Ali, right?
Ali. Yeah. Tyson actually just a couple of years ago fought Roy Jones Jr. And so it's not as if he hasn't already done this before, Tyson. The thing that I got excited, I'll be honest, I'm gonna be real honest with you guys, and I'm not proud of this, but I got excited at first. I Mike Tyson out of the ring, whole different story. But Mike Tyson in the ring, one of the most exciting athletes I've ever seen in my life, ever. As a boxing fan, oh my, we thought boxing might die. And then Mike Tyson comes around, and not only just rejuvenates the sport, but puts the sport on a level that only Ali had before and everything. Tyson was huge. He was gigantic. His star was so big when I was growing up and all that. And to think of him in the ring again, even at a diminished age, even walking around with a cane in New York and everything, I'm like, okay. You got me. If they tell me Michael Jordan is going to play one-on-one against Hakeem Olajuwon or somebody like that, I'm paying to see that. I want to see. I don't care how old these guys are.
Still can't believe he lost to Buster Douglas. Right?
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing about this guy. Yeah. That's the thing about Mike Tyson that I'm sure others have covered and talked about, but if they haven't, let me inform you. The only person to ever beat Mike Tyson was Mike Tyson. That's it.
You know, young people nowadays don't realize how big boxing used to be. In 1976, we had the good fortune of going to the Olympics in Montreal, and 12 of the 13 finalists were from the United States. Yeah. It was crazy. You know, they had the Spinks brothers back then. They had Sugar Ray Leonard back then. It was just, you know, everybody just watched and loved to see boxing, and it's just not the same as it used to be.
My dad talks about this. There was a point in time where the greatest athlete in your school went to boxing. You know, I mean, that's what they probably did. That's what it was a short amount of time here in American history. That was a point. There was a point in time where it was like that. And even the guys that didn't do that, your second or third best athlete, maybe, or this kid did or something, or a kid like Mike Tyson, who had, you know, plenty of possibility, but was, you know, getting in trouble or something like that. And boxing was the kind of straightener, the kind of thing that kind of straightened the avenue for him. Now we're finding out that these guys are actually going to be fighting with, like, you know, headgear on and stuff and everything, which makes a lot more sense. And I have no interest in it now. Now I could care less. I'll watch a highlight on you online or something like that. But I do find it funny that Jake Paul wanted to be a boxer and he got into this thinking about holding up a championship belt and all this stuff. And now he's really finding out what it is to be a boxer, getting that paycheck, man, and getting your butt kicked. Because I will eat a hat if Jake Paul is able to beat Mike Tyson, or I will say the fix is in. One or the other. There's just no way in my mind that can happen. If they had this fight 10 years from now, I'm still saying the same thing. I'm still saying it. It's the 70s Mike Tyson could beat Jake Paul.
It'd be interesting to see the amount of payout to each of them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure that's probably already out there.
It's just being announced that Josh Jacobs, the details of his deal, $48 million, four-year deal, $48 million, $12 million guaranteed. That's a pretty cheap deal. Like, man, they're getting these running backs cheap.
You know what's scary? To think that's a good deal.
Yeah, it is. It is scary. A whole other side note.
We have to renegotiate, right?
Yeah, we really do. Watch next week that Kevin's going to be in here. Yeah, get him cheaper, maybe. What I like about this for the Packers is you're bringing in a guy who again, we don't know these people, but everything I've read and seen about Josh Jacobs, from Alabama to Oakland to Las Vegas, good guy, kid.
I like him, you know. And the other thing is he had a little bit of a down year last year, but some of that they're attributing to how much he ran the year before, but also the fact that there was kind of a lot of chaos going on with the Raiders last year. And, you know, now you put him with a young quarterback, a young receiving core. And I think if they can just get another running back next to him.
You do need to run another running back, though.
Will this in any way, shape, or form, you know, entice Aaron Jones to maybe come back? Say, I can get a championship.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And they freed up a lot of cap space now.
That's the other part of this, too, where I think if you're an Aaron Jones fan, you're excited. You're hopeful still. I mean, I think it's pretty much A.J. Dillon's gone.
Yeah.
But if you weren't able to get Aaron Jones, I would really try to get A.J. Dillon back, because you're going to need it's the 1-2 punch. Oh, we know that's the NFL nowadays. Nobody makes it with one running back. So.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of draft picks out there for us, so maybe you can pick up a diamond in the rough as well.
Oh, yeah. There's some decent backs out there. We'll talk more about the draft next week and plenty more. Randy, great show. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks to the best listeners and radio for joining us on the air. And thank you very much, GM and head coach.